this is Dave. Welcome back to the All Independent Reno Podcast. Thanks again for listening. This week's episode, I sat down with Ford Coral and David Ware of the Reno Sessions. And if you're not familiar with the Reno Sessions, check out their website at therenosessions.com. You can see a lot of great music videos that, not necessarily music videos, but more like just live video recordings of a song or two or three from local Reno bands like Elephant Rifle, Up Is the Down Is the, Moondog Matinee, a lot of other great bands on that site as well that I didn't mention just now, but go check out that site. And right now we're just going to sit down and talk about how they go about their process of putting together videos, why they do what they do, and you know, a few other things here and there. So I hope you enjoy this episode, and here we go. Well, joining us right now is Ford Coral and David Ware of the Reno Sessions. Thanks for coming to the garage, you guys.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, definitely. So, what do you guys do exactly? You're the Reno Sessions. I mean, there's, you know, I don't know how many people know about it. I just found out about you guys maybe like a year ago or so, but what do you guys do?
We record bands, man. We basically record video, audio of bands playing. There's no loops, there's no overdubs, pitch correction, anything like that. It's a studio quality recording of a band playing live.
Okay.
And hopefully a cinematic component that accompanies the video or the audio.
So these aren't just like music videos, it's like a live recording. Like,
right.
And it sounds amazing too, like the audio quality, the video quality, the lighting and shit. I mean, and you guys have a background in film and TV. I read, Ford, that you went to the Arizona film school.
Right, yeah, University of Arizona Film School. And that's kind of when we first approached it. We needed to kind of be more fulfilled in our filmmaking lives. We mm-hmm. were very much nerds about recording engineering and things like that. We make music a lot, so we found a way to kind of combine those two passions into one thing. So each time we shoot a band, we treat it kind of like you're in a recording studio. So okay. We're gonna play it right, we're gonna play it until you get it right, but we also will light it and set it all up like it's a film set. So we kind of just, it's kind of just all our passions in one project.
Okay. And you've done like a ton of great Reno bands too, like yeah. What Bazooka Zoo and Up Is the Down Is the, Who's from Buster Blue, as well as, what's his name, Brian Jones from Buster Blue as yeah. well, Jelly Bread.
We got the two Buster Blue guys
yeah, right.
back to back,
yeah.
no less, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
In two very different scenarios. Those guys kind of forked off in different avenues, which is cool. I think it kind of illustrates the dynamics between those guys. But yeah, we've done a lot of band, Jelly Bread and Elephant Rifle, Moondog.
Mm-hmm.
My Flag's on Fire, which was a favorite.
Yeah, that was a really good one, too.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know.
Well, and the setting that you guys put for all of the live recordings that you do, too, aren't just, like, you know, in someone's garage. Although, a couple of them were in a garage for Moondog Matinee.
Kind of.
The work table.
Yeah,
and
that was on the Ware Home off of Dickerson.
Oh, okay.
That's where a lot of bands, a lot of really cool bands in town have, like, rehearsal setups and spaces to play out there.
Okay.
But there's like a lot of just weird art community shit happening in that warehouse. And that's definitely a thing that we try and do is incorporate a location that is relevant, we feel, in some way to the Reno music scene. I mean, we did one in Natalie Handler's backyard because she hosts bands in her backyard and has shows there and stuff like that. So
that's
actually where we recorded My Flag. It was in her backyard.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
And okay.
Then various other, you know, we recorded one at Tom Gordon's studio, one at Granny's house.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, okay. Dre and all those bastards recorded back in the day.
Yeah.
That, Beach Boys and shit.
Where was that at? That's over on, like, Plumas or something?
Yeah, it's,
like
on, it's on Plumas and Mount Rose Street.
Yeah.
It's that
okay.
big-ass white mansion.
Yeah. I've always heard about it. I've never gone inside.
It's
I've always
pretty cool.
Wanted to go
yeah.
check it out.
I've been lucky enough to do a couple other things there, so I'd been there before. But when we went there to record, it was we were like, oh shit, this place is killer. Yeah. And it's got that, like,
there's a lot of history in that building. So I mean, it's been very, it's been just as cool for us, I think, to just see these places.
Like the Lear Theater.
Yeah, like the Lear Theater.
With the sex tones.
Exactly.
That was really cool. Just, I've never even seen the inside of that place before.
And I'm pretty sure we hadn't, and the band hadn't either. We just kind of, they came up with the idea, and we said, yeah, let's do this. And we, that was a crazy one, just because it's sort of, you know, it's not really a functioning theater. There's no electricity.
It's a functioning building.
You got to be worried about the floorboards, you know.
Well, we brought in several generators to run our recording equipment and our lights.
Oh, wow.
And all the band's amplifiers and things like that.
It's not set up for power there.
No, yeah.
No, so we had on the goddamn grid, man.
Yeah. So we had generators outside running power, like refilling it with gasoline. And it was definitely the hot. I think that was the most. That was the most difficult.
There was the most to do.
Just because there was weather. It started snowing on our generators. It was really cold inside. There's just a lot of obstacles to overcome.
Yeah, that was the most.
We did it.
I think that was like the most fussy shoot we've done. And it was a whole day. There was a lot to do. But we powered through it. I'm proud of the products that we were able to produce from there. But yeah, that was like, we had to work with the city of Reno on that. Mark Sexton had a connection with some of the people that run Art Town, who own that building, and they're sitting on it.
Cool.
So we were getting, you know, permits and stuff like that from the city, thanks to Mark.
I'm surprised they haven't done anything with that building yet.
Yeah, that's a whole other overall thing that, like, hopefully in the next, hopefully short amount of time in Reno.
Yeah, so they can have
something
there.
They've been sitting on, like, that building is amazing. It's a historic building. It could be used for a million things.
Yeah, live shows, for arts, for theater.
For fucking movies, for fucking whatever.
And it's right next to the river, too.
Yeah, it's great.
Why is nobody using
Lear
Theater?
It's fantastic. They'd make a killing, but...
Well, you guys are using Lear Theater.
Right, so hopefully that lights a fire under someone to, like, hey, this is a cool thing, and hopefully we did a good job, you know, shooting it and presenting it.
And that kind of brings it back to why we even bounce around so much. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, of course, I think we want to showcase our filmmaking and our recording skills, but we also, like, I think first and foremost, want to showcase how amazing the musical talent is in Reno.
Absolutely. But
we thought some other thing that can come along for the ride was we can showcase some really strange and weird artistic spaces that are in Reno.
Mm-hmm.
So we try not to shoot anywhere twice. We're always trying to find some new weird place where maybe just some weird artistic thing is going on. Like Reno Artworks, when we did The Pretty Unknown.
Is that the place over off of Dickerson?
It's off of Dickerson, yeah.
We shot a lot of stuff on Dickerson. Like, that's definitely been, like, a part of the art community that's kind of been open to us. We've shot, like, what, 3 or 4 videos on that street?
But all the scenes look different. Like, sometimes there's a big, huge
they're different
painting
buildings.
In the background.
Yeah, they're owned by different people, but they're all sympathetic to what we're doing, so they... You know, we wanted to shoot something in the Potentialist Theater, and the owner, Eric Shapiro's like, what? Okay, cool, here's the keys.
Yeah.
They can lock up when you're done.
Yeah, it's definitely That's been cool. a really cool experience, just because everyone has just welcomed us into these locations really easily, just giving us the keys and letting us do our thing. And
yeah.
It's been really cool. Not a lot of red tape to go through.
Yeah.
Well, and you guys know what you're doing, too. And just from looking at the quality and the lighting and the angles, I mean, it just... It feels like it's incredibly professional stuff, and you guys even won an Emmy in 2014 as well for your Reno Sessions work.
Right,
we did.
Yeah, that was we used to work in a news station, so I was on this listserv that would let you know when the Emmy nominations were. You can submit to the Emmys. I'd get those emails all the time, even after I was done working there. And then while we were in the middle of doing Reno Sessions, I got that email. And just kind of poked around, and I looked at some of the rules, and they had just started allowing online content as being able to be eligible to submit.
It was the first year.
Yeah, so...
Oh, that's in 2014.
Yeah, so I got with David and Sean, and was like, well, you guys want to give it a shot? So we did. We submitted for one category. We were super excited to be nominated. Then we all just drove over to San Francisco and went to the ceremony, and they called our name. We got super, super drunk.
I know. I saw the acceptance video on your website. It's good stuff. So you just mentioned your other, your partner, Sean, too.
Right.
What is he in the part of the Reno Sessions?
Yeah, he's like our mobile recording studio. This guy owns just some of the coolest equipment. He has like a huge, several suitcases of really great microphones, lots of cable, lots of really great preamps, and a really good computer setup. So
I'm envious already.
Yeah, that's why that's why we can go to all these places, just because it's so portable.
Right.
I mean, really, we just kind of loaded in and a few, just one computer, briefcases, and we're ready to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sean also helps audio engineering. He helps mix several videos too.
Yeah.
David and Sean do the majority of the mixing, so he helps with that side too.
Yeah, it's great to have someone like Sean on board with his resources. I mean, we try and do like a pretty legit studio setup in terms of, I mean, we're recording 24 mics on a band at times.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we try and track it, you know, that's a whole thing is, you know,
just so you can have each individual track.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
like, do I want to use that? Do I want to?
I mean, there's
just
a lot of bleed, but yeah,
background.
I mean, it's, you know, if you were making a record, you would use about that many inputs anyway, typically, at least, you know, before overdubs and things like that, you'd have that many tracks to kind of chase after. And Ford and I, and like Sean's a really good audio engineer, and he went to like Purdue and learned a lot of that stuff, and. Has been doing it, just pursuing it on his own independently, obviously why he has that many mics, but Ford and I have also took a recording arts class from Tom Gordon years ago just to do it, and then
was that here at
that was at Imraj in Sparks.
Okay.
Yeah, and just kind of sat on a lot of that information for a long time, and then when we got the idea to do Reno Sessions, I was like, well, shit, we know how to mic stuff. We can record things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. It was a combination of our two passions. To put it really simply, that's, I think, what the Reno Sessions is. The two things we love the most in one thing.
Yeah. Well, and there is a lot of Reno artists that you have. Do you do exclusively Reno artists, or are you eventually
so
wanting
far,
to do and
it's,
pursue, like,
it's not,
bands?
Yeah, that, it's not like... I'd love to branch out and record a band from... wherever, you know,
right.
Like I'm
Reykjavik.
Yeah, like wherever, you know.
Yeah.
There's potential we might do a band from Alaska, if that's
cool.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. But we've also ventured outside of Reno. We went to Clio, California, to record Rigor's Proof.
Oh, nice.
So to us, like Reno Sessions just means like it's a Reno like based production and aesthetic that Ford and I and Sean bring into it.
Okay.
It's just our taste, and it's. You know, the analogy I bring is this is our band. We approach it like it's our band.
Yeah.
You know, we're still very much in the punk rock phase where we have to like ask favors and, you know, borrow equipment and.
Oh, I don't think that ever ends.
Yeah,
it's always about who you know and
yeah,
asking favors from friends.
Sure,
for the most part.
Yeah.
So we were talking earlier outside before we started the interview about. You know, all the Reno bands and the fact that there's so many like great musicians here in town, and this like the music scene and the culture here is getting a lot better. I mean, there's incredibly quality music here that I think both you and I are trying to help promote and help, you know, get into the ears and eyes of everybody out there.
Yeah, I don't think we would have started Reno Sessions if we didn't look around and just see so much talent just all over the place. Like when we came up with the idea to shoot Reno bands, we were like, "Well, I can already think of 10." You know, that's a good starting point.
Yeah, I think that was what gave us like the fucking balls to do it anyway. It was like, well, you know, it's not going to be some stupid kid, you know, in his garage or whatever that we're going to try and record or whatever. No, there's like bands that we believe in that are cool, and let's put something out for the world to see. That we believe in, that we think this is really cool. That was kind of an audacious, you know, idea, but we had the talent as our subjects to back that up.
Yeah, because I think every single band that you've had on your website so far has, you know, been touring at least a little bit or has put out albums and put out quality work.
Yeah.
They really care about what they're doing, and you guys recognize that.
Yeah, we've been really fortunate, man. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of bands we've said no to, you know.
So do the bands mainly come to you, or do you
it's
seek
both.
Out people?
It's a lot of both. I mean, we're friends with people in bands, or sometimes, you know, we'll get you know, a solicitation from a band, like, hey, check out my shit. I'm like, okay, and then we talk, and then it's kind of like a dating process where we, you know, check them out and go to rehearsal and,
yeah,
you know,
maybe go to their show and not tell them that you're going and
a little bit of that. I mean, check them out. We kind of try and keep things above board and then, you know, make it a mutual thing as we move forward. But it's a bit of a process for sure.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So what do you do exactly for the Reno Sessions, Ford? I read that you're director of photography, but other things as well? And
yeah, I do a lot of editing. On set, I would say I act more as a cinematographer.
Okay.
Just where light is pointed, you know, just how aesthetically things look. Everyone's got their own little thing we do on set. David is the predominant audio engineer, mic placement. We try and have him do that at the same time as I'm trying to shape light, just so we can kind of get together, get our shit together, and get going as fast as humanly possible. Yeah, on set, I'm kind of trying to manage the cameras and the light and just how aesthetically the whole situation looks.
Okay. And David, you're doing mainly audio and just helping out with everything else.
Yeah, I straddle those two worlds. Ford and I are basically the directors. Mm. We figure out what shots we want to get. Ford primarily takes care of shaping the light, you know, and then we'll talk to, you know, about it. And maybe I have an idea. Maybe my idea is not that good. Maybe my idea is all right, and gives Ford a better idea to do something. So
and you guys can bounce off each other.
Collaborate. Yeah, and that's definitely been the thing that I've worked with a lot of people, and why I enjoy working with Ford is we have a really good chemistry together.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to say a lot of words to know what we're talking about.
How long have you guys known each other for?
7 years?
Yeah, 7 or 8 years. Something like that.
So you've worked together for quite a while in other industries.
We've had to solve problems and we've been shit on together. So it's like, there's a lot to, I think you gain a lot of shorthand and camaraderie really quickly in those situations. And when we're on set, it's okay, let's get this shot and then let's get that shot. And then let's do this from over here. It's just a lot of the logistics of it.
When we're ready to go, David and I are both the videographers. We each have a camera. We're trying to, so we're each just over around getting coverage. We, you know, it's like, hey, David, you take the bass player, I'll take the guitar player, and then we switch it up, you know.
Well, I was going to ask you, how does a shot work? When do you do a shoot?
So that was initially when we were trying to figure out how to do it, that was kind of the question. How do we do it? Because we were watching, there was a lot of these shows Life from Abbey Road and from the Life from the Basement series or whatever, where they were, you know, recording in Abbey Road Studios, you know, this prestigious, amazing, you know, recording studio. And then they would...
Never heard of it.
Right. But then they would fill the studio with basically a television production crew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd have 8 cameras or whatever, you know, placed on certain aspects of, you know, this guys on the drums, guys on guitar or whatever. And they would just do a pass, and it was basically the gourmet version of something you'd see on a late night talk show band performance kind of thing. It was
It was
lit better, and the coverage was from different angles, and that was cool. But they're also using TV cameras that don't have the lenses or the sensors or the frame rate or any of those things that a cinema camera does. And that was also when DSLR cameras, without getting crazy technical, boring people, but...
No, that's fine.
The technical end of consumer video caught up to kind of speak the language of this culture of cinema that's been, been practiced for the last almost 100 years at this point. So I'm like, well, okay, that's what we want to do. We want to make this look like a movie, and there's not a lot of us, so it was like, well, we're gonna have to shoot it like a movie. We're like, okay, this is our master take, this is the coverage of this character, this is the cover, this is an insert or whatever,
right?
So it was a lot of that, and we had to put our heads together and come up with that idea, and we're like, oh man, no one's ever done this, this is the shit, like, we're making movies about bands playing music to no one. It's never been done before. And then you watch Pink Floyd's Pompeii, you're like, Oh, yeah.
Somebody did it.
They did that in the 70s. I forgot about that.
And I'm pretty sure Live from Abbey Road did it that way, too. But we basically... Because we're trying to get a good audio take. Mm-hmm. Since we're going to be getting so many video takes and really just using one audio take, we try and play it as much as humanly possible until they are really happy with it.
Okay.
So we're just getting video that whole time of them playing. So we've got plenty of video, but there's really only one chance to get that great take.
And then you have to take the live recording that you did the first, like the whatever recording is good, and then sync that up to the video takes that you've taken and cut.
Which we'll get a mix, and then we'll just take every bit of footage we have and just try and sync it up as best as humanly possible.
I didn't know that you did that.
And going back to how blessed we've been with the quality of bands, because if you're not a good band, that shit doesn't work.
Yeah, if you're like, oh, wait,
if your band doesn't have a good drummer, we don't work with you.
Right.
Yeah, if your middle eight isn't eight bars all the time, or like, you know, basically if you're not playing the song the same way, like if they played about 10 times and there's very little variance between all those takes, it makes our job so much easier.
Yeah.
If you're a band that doesn't really know how to play your song, then it's really hard for us to make a good video for you.
If you're improvising. Yeah.
One of the few instances we've had to turn a band down was we had this really cool jazz band, but it's like, they're playing jazz, and like I understand what they're doing, and I'm sympathetic, but it's like I don't know if what we do is going to be compatible.
Mm.
We would need probably five, like at least because three of the process. People to capture that amount to stand behind a product that we would like and the band would like.
Right. So. It's like watching Whiplash and then noticing all the drums are actually off just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be off by a lot because, I mean, all those jazz bands, they play a completely different song almost.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's all improv for a lot.
Yeah,
of times.
Yeah, which is rad. And I love watching it. I like listening to it. But you know, for what we do, it doesn't swing.
Yeah, well, and like you said, a lot of the bands are very professional. They're on their shit. They know how to play their songs. Mm-hmm. But there are you know, places for jazz bands to go to, I'm sure, to be able to have just a one take, one shot live recording.
Mm-hmm. And we'd still like to do it that way one day. We just kind of need more resources and things like that.
Yeah.
We definitely don't want to exclude any kind of genre just because of the way they play that particular kind of music. Yeah. We definitely really want to do that one day.
Yeah, it wasn't so much like we're not going to. It's just, let's put a pin in that. Like, we'll get back to that. When we can.
We're on the back burner.
Yeah.
So basically, a band just really needs to have their shit together in order. That's, if we had any prerequisite for a band that has to work with us, it's just they just need to be tight.
So bands, get your shit together.
Get your shit together. Also, you know, have a sound that is yours. You know, there's a million, you know, 18-year-old kids playing death metal. That's cool.
There's a lot of death metal,
and there's a valid aspect to that, and what that can become later. But you know, the bands we like to work with are bands that have their own kind of sound, who operate their own way and are unique, and that's what I think attracts us to them is they have their own voice, and we want to capture that and present that and tell that story.
Right. Well, the last artist that I saw that you worked with was Brian Jones from Buster Blue, we were talking about a second ago.
Yeah.
And that video was shot over at St. James.
Yeah.
In their bar when it was closed down.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Was it closed down at
the time? Yeah, it was closed down.
Yeah. Okay. Art Farley, the owner, actually closed down early on a Sunday.
I should say it was not open for business at that time.
Not closed down.
No, they just closed up shop for the night. A little early so that we could get in there and kind of record into the morning. And that was a big favor to us, and we were obviously very appreciative. And
creates a nice background.
Yeah,
too.
And
very recognizable too if you lived in Reno.
I mean, it's a very photogenic bar, and it has its own kind of motif in terms of production design. Mm-hmm. And
the black and white aesthetic in that video, we chose that just because it matches the aesthetic of the inside of that bar. Right. That bar is a black and white bar.
Compared to like the Bazooka Zoo video where they're very like it's psychedelic garage rock.
Yeah.
Like it starts out with a crazy, you know, pixelated video, and then it cuts to them and they're all dressed very eclectically and psychedelic.
Yeah, and I think that's
the styles are different.
That's what Fort and I are always about, is we fancy ourselves as storytellers. And we want to try and do the, like, what our idea of a band is, you know, and that goes into the way we light, the way we shoot, what lenses we're using, how we microphone things. I'm sorry, I'm hitting the table.
Stop hitting the table, man.
Tapping me. But yeah, how we mic a band, how we mix, how we edit, how we do everything is really based on what we think is appropriate for each band. You know, you mentioned Bazooka Zoo, you know, that and My Flag Is On Fire is probably our polar opposites, not just in terms of those bands, but also how we approached
the setting.
Yeah, we went very handheld and shaky camera for Bazooka Zoo, and we went very smooth, you know, slider and tripod shots for My Flag. And the lighting was much different, and the edits were much different. The mix, like the mic placements, were much different.
The way you do the videos reflect how the song is.
Yeah, it's we try to have an interpretation of what each band is and means to us, and then that informs how we're going to try and execute things going forward.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to when we were talking about how we meet a band. We kind of like date them, court them for a little bit. As we, you know, we meet and we get to know them as people, and then we meet them in their practice space and we listen to their music. We kind of both hash out what kind of songs, and once they pick the songs, then we can already start wrapping our minds around how we aesthetically want to match that. So we know the songs well before we shoot. It's not like we're hearing those for the first time. So we know we can come in there and we have a game plan about how to match the look to that song they're playing.
Yeah, you don't just show up and go, okay, let's shoot this.
Right, yeah.
It's a big process.
It would definitely come across a little more generic if we did it that way.
Mm. Yeah, because you've listened to the music, you've seen the band, hung out with them, and then you're able to execute it the way that it should be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's not just, you know, thrown up against the wall and see what... what sticks,
yeah.
Exactly. Kind of thing.
We definitely don't. We don't want to have a template going in. I don't want to know. Oh, this is how I make a drum kit. Okay, cool. No, it's all right. That snare sounds much different, and it plays a different role in this band than it did, you know, the drums in the other band that we did. So I want to approach that differently. I want to try and mic that differently. And Sean and I will scratch our heads and figure it out.
Yeah.
What we're going for, and you know what mics works and what doesn't, and things like that. And you know, we light them differently. Ford goes, hey, let's get more light underneath and whatever, and let's light the backgrounds differently or whatever.
Well, and the different style of lights, you don't really see too many places too. Like for the Up Is the Down Is the video, also what Andy from Buster Blue, where he's just solo by himself, there was all these lights in Cargo is where you guys
just a quick shout out to Dan Bishop. He helped us out. That was also another, that was like an establishment place in terms of like access, and we thought there was going to be a lot of red tape to that, and there was no resistance. So it was like, yeah, come in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like it was, they were very accommodating and things like that. So yeah, big ups to them. They actually made it a lot of fun.
Nice. Shout out to Cargo.
Yeah.
But, and that video was cool. It was, I thought it was going to be, when I first opening shot, it shows Cargo. I thought it was going to be on the stage, but he was in the main, like, just the crowd area.
Yeah.
Like, it was also, like, not open during working hours at the time.
And those backlights were Ford's idea. He kind of...
They were cool. They were, like,
there's
weird,
like, stacked up chairs in the back, and he's like, and we had these cool work lights, and Ford's like, I'm gonna put the work lights on that. And I was like, yeah. That's great.
Oh, that's what it was. It was just work lights. Yeah. Okay.
Well, a lot of that was just an idea, like different ideas I've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when we did Up Is the Down Is the, it was like, okay, because we'd been in Cargo and seen shows before, and they have that tiny scaffolding in the middle of the crowd. Mm-hmm. I've always looked up at that saying, like, I want a solo artist to play right underneath it, and we can just blast light down on him.
And that's what you did.
That was one idea, and I've always wanted to just do nothing but backlight on someone, so we just kind of combined those two ideas with him.
Yeah, it looks amazing aesthetically.
Like, well, thank you.
And it goes well with the song, you know, like we were saying earlier, how it ties together really well. I almost thought he was good. Didn't he play a show there, too, at Cargo?
Not that I know of.
No. Yeah, and he moved away recently, too.
Yeah, he's in Boise. He plays shows out here every now and then, but yeah, he's based out of Boise now.
Yeah, he's doing the Tree Fort Festival, I think.
Yeah, and that goes, that kind of goes into a big purpose of why we're, or at least, or one of our goals, or what we want to accomplish with this is, yeah, there's a lot of great art out here. And that's cool, but we also... the people who do it here take it seriously, and I think it's time that our town takes it seriously too. I don't think that our town takes our artists seriously enough right now. Mm-hmm. Where we have people like
it's
Andy
getting
moving
better.
To Boise.
It's getting better.
You have someone like Ty moving to Brooklyn. You have Brian moving to Seattle. We're losing
Surf Curse just moved to.
Yeah, like yeah. you have great artists, but they can't make a living here.
Right.
And until that reverses itself, until we're not going to have a sustainable art community that I think our city is trying to reinvent itself as.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of a lot of lip service until there's actual results. And I'm not expecting that to change tomorrow, but, you know, a lot of that has to start changing now, and it has to, it's on us as artists
mm-hmm.
to be a part of that conversation.
Yeah, and one of the many goals we have and that feeds to that idea and tries to make that better, just to be a little piece of it, is if we give these artists really slick-looking pieces of professional video, that adds clout to just the overall scene. It adds clout to that band. Like, look at this professional video they did.
Because they can use that as, like, their resume and
yeah.
put it on their Facebook
yeah.
page and say, I have a really nice professional-looking video.
Yep.
And it's more respectable than something that's just shot on an iPhone.
Yeah, just basically, like, adding elements of respect to the artist community here.
Yeah.
Like, we've got cool products for these bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have filmmakers who can make these things. We have artists that are worthy of that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it goes both ways. I mean, yeah, we can do a lot of stuff with cameras and lighting and microphones, but...
Yeah, it's basically...
We
like,
have great bands.
Look at one video. Yeah. Cool. Reno's got some cool filmmakers that can make this. And cool cinematographers. They've also got cool audio engineers and mixers. They've also got really cool bands, and they've got really cool locations.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just kind of like the whole idea behind it all.
And it's a hub, too. It's weird that
yeah.
a lot of things don't come through Reno, like either bands or companies or whatever the fuck it is, that they just, you know, skip Reno, even though we're in between, you know,
yeah.
Salt Lake or Boise or Seattle or Portland or
yeah.
San Francisco or Sacramento or whatever.
And I feel
just
like
kind
that,
of left alone.
I feel like that used to not be the case like almost 10 years ago. There was a lot of great bands touring through Reno.
Mm-hmm.
I thought like the quality of bands we would get like used to be better than it is now. And we have more venues now. So that's
yeah.
those are things that made me kind of raise my eyebrow going, what's going on here? Like, We used to have killer acts come through. We used to have a lot of the other things, but I mean, whatever. We still have our own scene, and that's great. And I'm excited for that. And that's
we just
want
the scene to get big enough to maybe where we have the reputation to where a band like has to stop through. Like, oh, this is a
exactly.
town that really loves music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want people to think of Reno that way.
Oh,
or,
I think a lot of people
or film festivals or whatever. Like,
yeah.
there's a lot of possibilities of things we could be doing.
Mm.
But those are, you know. We have to become, you know, a more legit town in that respect.
Well, there's the film festival that happens, the short film festival at the Nevada Museum of Art.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a Nevada Museum of Art
mm-hmm.
now and have for quite a while, which
mm-hmm.
is substantial. And also, I think Holland has brought in, like, a lot of really good bands.
Yeah, they're definitely doing the Lord's work, too.
Yeah.
We definitely support a lot of what they're about,
mm-hmm.
Especially doing, like, an all-ages thing.
Yeah, and
cool.
we haven't shot one there, but
nope.
that's just impending. Like, that's going to happen one
right.
day.
Yeah.
No, that's a perfect place. They have the great setup, and they have a good sound there, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those, you know, surprisingly good-sounding places.
Well, you can do a lot of good shit if you care, and they care. They give a shit,
mm-hmm.
and it shows. I mean, they don't have a million resources, but they care enough to try,
yeah.
and that's why they're... People like going there. That's why you're talking about they have good sound. I mean, they don't have the craziest gear in the world. They don't have the craziest space in the world.
Right.
But they believe in what they're doing. And
they got a space, and they're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I feel like that's kind of what our philosophy is as well, and that's why we have a lot of respect for them is, yeah, we're on a shoestring budget, you know, we don't make money at doing this, you know, we don't charge bands.
Yeah, and because you guys have day jobs or do freelance shit.
Yeah,
and
so do the bands in this town, and we're sympathetic to the bands and the culture that we're a part of. So, yeah, we're gonna cut bands' deals and, you know, in terms of doing production for them. It's just enough to kind of, like, get a sandwich at the end for the most part.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's definitely not a money-making venture. It's more of a we love our community and the people around it, and it's self-serving in a way. Like, we want to make movies. We want people to see the fact that we can make stuff look cool and sound cool.
Yeah,
but for the most part, like, the reason we're not making any money is because we love all these bands so much, and we love Reno so much. So they need a product like this. Yeah. So we.
I think charging a band like overcharging or whatever would be.
Yeah. If we charge like standard standard rates, I mean, we would not get any band. Like, there's not every band is just trying to tour and work really hard to feed themselves, and they can't afford thousands of dollars on a music video. Yeah, but with us, they can get that quality, and hopefully, you know, it helps their career. It helps us because, I mean, it's a resume builder for us too. Yeah. We get to kind of show. It's really cool because it's just all style. Sometimes we get to really like just kind of show our prowess as far as filmmakers go. Like we can get as edgy and weird and artistic as we want.
Yeah, Emmy award winning prowess.
Yeah, right? We're kind of allowed. We're kind of allowed to be a bit showy with some of it too. You know, that's what's cool about it. And yeah, I mean, as virtuous as, you know, I was trying to make that sound, but at the same time, don't get it wrong. We are ambitious guys, and we want to move forward with our careers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to be able to do that while you're helping out other great bands and helping out the community on some level as well.
Like, well, and that
it is self-serving. It is serving the community. It's all these things. We're a part of the community, so we obviously want to help ourselves as much as we can. But
sure.
We're also not trying to take advantage of people.
Well, and that's the direction I was that I'm trying to go with this podcast too, is trying to help promote you know bands and venues.
Yeah, you're part of that.
And people like yourselves that are like, I want to help promote, you know, the Reno sessions because I wouldn't have you guys here if I didn't like your shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, helping promote you guys will be like, oh, you know, say to bands like, oh, the Reno sessions, I'll go check out their stuff. Then they can work with you, or people just see your stuff and then know that, you know, this is what you guys are doing here in Reno.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Ford and I have been doing as filmmakers, as well as, like, you know, last year we produced a music video for Elephant Rifle that wasn't a Reno Sessions production. It was just a straight up music video, you know.
And that's out right now, like on Elephant Rifle's site?
Yeah.
Or in your site?
Yeah.
Too,
yeah.
Or?
We have, I don't know if we have it on our site right now, but I want it to be soon. Okay. We actually just got up a write up in a few music blogs, which is cool.
Cool.
But yeah, we're going to have. That's out right now. We have links to it, I think, on our Facebook page. We'll put more stuff out as well. But we want to start doing more music videos as well, or short films and things like that. I have a really stupid idea for another Elephant Rifle video that I want to get done, hopefully this year. Ford's got cool ideas for short films. I got maybe one idea for a short film. We want to get more into doing that as well.
Is it like music or band-related films, or
it's just
short films?
Just short films.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that's kind of the roots of why we even like use cameras and lights, is we like telling stories. We really liked, you know, writing scripts and setting up scenes and coaching actors. And the Reno Sessions was just, you know, an element so we can use our visual skills with something else. But we really like storytelling. We really like filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we're going to try and start focusing on that a little bit more. We shot a lot of bands last year, but we're still going with some bands this year. We're about to shoot Jake Houston, the country band. We're going to shoot them at Lincoln Lounge this month.
Oh, cool.
That should be an interesting one.
That'll be good.
I'm excited, man.
And that looks aesthetically looks awesome.
It fits them. I think Jake
it fits them and it doesn't fit them. It's so weird. Like, it's a country band, but the walls are lined with velvet, and it's gonna be weird. You know?
Yeah, but they're kind of a weird country band too. And we've also played with, like, getting a venue or a space that works with the band, but there's also like a cool sometimes juxtaposition of like, yeah, this band's here, but they're in this other things that maybe you wouldn't have associated on your own with them. I think like the Up is the Down is a really good example of that. Mm-hmm. You know, that space is, it works, but I don't think I could sell you on that idea if I explained it to you before you saw it and heard it.
Yeah.
Like, I like the notion of Lincoln Lounge with a country band way better than a country band playing in a saloon looking place.
Okay.
That's just too on the nose. Yeah.
Too obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's too obvious, it's not good.
Right.
Yeah. Well, again, people listening to this, go check out the Reno Sessions at therenosessions.com. Check out their Facebook page, too, to keep up to date with all the new bands they're going to be having on their site. And again, thank you guys both for coming down here and talking to me about this. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I appreciate you having us here, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for what you guys do next.
Cool, thank you.
Absolutely. Cool, take it easy, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Another episode of All Independent Reno Podcast for you with the Reno Sessions. Thanks again to Ford Coral and David Ware for coming down and talking to me about their project, the Reno Sessions. I think they do some really great work with their live recordings and work with a lot of great local bands, too. So, again, you know, thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. It's really cool to see so many people appreciating this and, you know, just getting to know more about bands or, you know, local video and art and stuff like that. So be sure to tell people about it. You know, of course, you know, if you like it, let me know. You know, tell me what you don't like, leave some comments, all that sort of stuff, too, would be appreciated. But we're going to be posting another episode again in about a week instead of 2 weeks. We had some special guests stop by yesterday and play some great songs and had a fun time, had a good conversation. So more information to come about that. But until then, take it easy, and I'll talk to you guys later. All right, bye. Meet you on the other side.